With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
When you have great coaches, then after you have great coaches, you get great players, you have a great organization, and you tell them one thing. Just win, baby.
Let's go, Raider Nation, and welcome to Just Pod Baby with your host, Evan Grope. Just Pod Baby is a part of the Silver and Black Pride Podcast Network, brought to you by SB Nation. Give me a follow on Twitter at egrope5, and head over to silverandblackpride.com for all the latest news involving your Oakland Raiders, soon to be Las Vegas Raiders. Once again, I want to wish all you out there a happy holidays. I hope everyone had a great time celebrating with your families this week, and I want to wish everyone a happy new year with that just around the corner next week. Well, we've made it to week 17. It's finally upon us. It's been a wild season for the Raiders, but here we are, week 17, and the Raiders are still alive. They're still in the hunt, believe it or not. Somehow, some way, it's going to take something really special this week to get it done. I talked about it last week. Essentially, what the Raiders are looking at here starting in week 16 was a two-week-long 10-team parlay that needed to come through in order for the playoffs to become a reality. And so far, the first week, the first five games that needed to hit, it happened. This week is going to be much more difficult when you look at some of the matchups that need to happen in order, you know, in the Raiders' favor. But we're going to discuss that a little bit later. Before I get into that, I want to discuss what happened last week, specifically with the Raiders. We all know that the Ravens, the Jets, the Saints, and the Colts, they got it done. They all held up their end of the bargain for the Raiders. But we needed to take care of some business on our own on the road in Los Angeles, excuse me. Now, when I say a road game, that really wasn't the case. Based on the amount of fans that were in the stadium and the crowd noise, it definitely felt and sounded more like a Raiders home game, and that's exactly what it was. Much like the Jaguars game, things really got off to a good start. Things were clicking on both sides of the ball in the first half. Derek Carr came out firing again, finishing the half 16 of 20 passing for 217 yards. He had a touchdown pass in the first half, as well as another touchdown that he added on the ground rushing. So he really, really played well in the first half, as he did last week as well. So he's really kind of, came into his own here in the last two games. The defense allowed only five first downs in the first half. The Raiders led 14-7 at the end of the first half. The big question going into the second half was, could they score some points? And this has been something that has really plagued them now in previous weeks. We didn't have to wait long to get the answer to that question. The offense received the kick to start the second half and put together a really impressive 13-play, 75-yard drive that was capped by DeAndre Washington's 5-yard touchdown run. The Chargers got a healthy dose of DeAndre Washington throughout the series. He carried the ball seven times for 32 yards, and obviously he had the touchdown. Speaking of Washington, he had a really nice game, and although when you look at the box score, his numbers don't jump off the page at you, but he ran hard. He ran with enthusiasm. He really set a physical tone, in the game, and he touched the ball 25 times, so certainly he had a large role in place of Josh Jacobs, who once again was inactive with the shoulder injury. Now, the Chargers tried to mount a comeback, But they would really only get within a touchdown, and that's as close as they would get. The final score was 24-17. Some performances that I'd like to mention that I thought were really good. Well, obviously, Hunter Renfrow, he returned after missing 2 weeks with a rib and lung injury, and he wasted no time getting involved. Carr and Renfrow hooked up on the opening drive for a 56-yard touchdown. It was a slant pass that Renfrow caught and broke a tackle, and he was off to the races. And I think that drive really set the tone for the entire game, so it was nice to see them have a big explosive play there at the beginning. Here's a fact for you. I'm not sure if anyone heard this yet. I was quite taken back by this myself. The 107 yards that Renfrow had receiving was his first 100-yard game since high school, believe it or not. Yeah, I thought that was surprising myself. All the games that he played at Clemson, all the big games that he played in, all the records that he has over there at that great school, never had 100 yards. So I thought that was a very interesting stat that I heard. I also thought that Nevin Lawson played well. He recorded 4 pass breakups, and they really needed that. Trayvon Mullen went out with the injury. Darrell Worley was back at playing some safety, so they really needed a corner to step up, and I thought Nevin Lawson did a great job. Cleveland Farrell continues his late-season surge. He added another sack, and that sack came in a crucial point in the game. And he also added 2 tackles for loss. So, he has really stood out in the last 2 weeks. If you go back and watch the film, he's really done a nice job, setting the edge, and run defense as well as getting to the quarterback and applying some pressure. So I'm hoping that this is, he's finally kind of turning the corner here. And although we're at the end of the season, I do hope this is a sign of things to come next year. I also have to mention Will Compton. I wrote up a piece about him over at silverandblackpride.com this week. And, the guy has been playing great since joining the starting lineup a couple of weeks ago. Now, he's only been with a team since October 30th, so he's been with the team less than 2 months now. And he's really, although he's only started the last, 3 games, he's really made an impact. He's had 21 tackles now in the last 2 weeks. He's led the team in tackles in each of the last 2 games. So he's been all over the place. And, he's been exactly what this team has needed, at a very weak position where they've dealt with a lot of injuries, suspensions to Burfict. They've had guys, they've brought in several guys from free agency. They signed guys off the practice squads from other teams. So, he certainly isn't the long-term option at linebacker for them, but he's definitely provided them with an impact down the stretch that's been very valuable. Some not-so-good performances, you got to go to Brandon Parker. I mentioned it last week when Trent Brown was put on IR, Parker would be starting, and I talked about it, how I felt Bosa and Ingram would be licking their chops, at an opportunity to go up against Parker, and, I was right about that. Parker gave up the 2 sacks and didn't have a very long leash. He was pulled and benched in favor of David Sharp, who I thought came in and did an okay job. And Gruden already announced it. If you listen to the press conferences at all, he already announced that Sharp would be starting at right tackle this week. So hopefully, that's less of an issue this week. Speaking of this week, the Raiders again need a ton of help from a few other teams around the league, and as well as taking care of some of their own business against the Broncos. So I'd like to talk a little bit about the games that you guys all should be keeping a close eye on Sunday, in addition to the Raiders and Broncos. So first, we're going to need a Browns win over the Bengals. Now, when you look at that on paper, you may be saying to yourself, okay, this should be a no-brainer. The Bengals are at 1 win this year. They've secured the first overall pick in the draft. But I don't think that's the case. I don't think you can count this one as a guaranteed win. The Browns are a mess right now. The players are just not on the same page with their head coach, Freddie Kitchens. They're visibly, not happy with the coach. Odell Beckham was on the sidelines last week, if you saw that, arguing with the coach. It's just a bad situation. So I question, how much will the Browns be willing to lay it on the line in a meaningless game, for a coach who probably could be fired, Monday morning on what they call Black Monday, I believe they call it in the NFL. So I just don't know. That would be one game that I would, I think could be an issue for the Raiders. The Bengals, on the other hand, have been bad all year. You know, since Andy Dalton was reinserted into the starting lineup a couple weeks ago, I do think they've been a little bit more competitive. And I think Dalton, the fact that he is, I believe he's going to be a free agent at the end of the season. He could be auditioning for a job elsewhere. So I think he's going to come out. He's going to play hard. He's going to be looking to put his best foot forward. And I just think that the Bengals are going to be playing a little bit more inspired football. You know, with that young coach, Zach Taylor is going to have them looking to play better, gaining some momentum going into next year. So I definitely give the Bengals a chance in this one. The next game that gives me a little bit of concern is the Ravens having to beat the Steelers. The Ravens are most likely going to bench most of the starters after a quarter, if they play at all. I did hear Coach Harbaugh talk about, you know, their main priority is to win the game, but I think that's a little bit of coaches talk there. Mark Ingram was injured last week, so he's not playing. And so because of that, I just don't see them risking at all for a meaningless game. I don't expect Lamar Jackson to play much, if at all, unless you're going to see a lot of Robert Griffin III. Keep in mind, they've already wrapped up home field advantage throughout the playoffs. They're the number one seed, so there's really not a whole lot to play for the Ravens. Now, the Steelers, they are fighting for their playoff lives, so they're going to be all in this game. I haven't heard yet who's starting at quarterback. I know Rudolph was injured last week, and they brought Hodges back in, who started the game and then was pulled. So I'm not sure. I haven't heard that announcement yet, but either way, it doesn't really matter. They're both not really that good. I did hear no James Conner for the Steelers this week, so he's already been ruled out. But, you know, that again, that's a game that would give me some concern. The next one that the Raiders would need is the Texans to beat the Titans for the second time in 3 weeks. If you recall, they just beat them 2 weeks ago. And they're going to have to do it on the road this time, which can be tricky. Like the Ravens, the Texans have already won the division. They are the four seed. And, you know, like the Ravens, they could be resting a lot of key starters. I think the Titans, I know the Titans need a win to get in. They control their own destiny in this one. So, again, it's going to be tough, you know, should the Titans decide to rest, you know, Deshaun Watson and some of their other key players. Now, if these games were being played in Week 13, I'd feel a lot better than I do this week being played in Week 17, you know, mostly because some of these teams have things wrapped up already. There's not really much to play for a couple of these teams. So I just don't know how much confidence I have that they would all come through. There's just too many factors to consider, and I do think it's going to be very difficult. Not to mention, you know, obviously the Raiders need to win as well. So all of these things, you know, need to happen, including the Raiders. And that will be no easy task in a cold weather game in Mile High. So there is your Week 16 recap and the Week 17 miracle that needs to occur for the Raiders to make the postseason. I'm going to step aside for a moment, and when I return, I will take you through the Friday injury report and preview the 2019 finale in Denver against the Broncos.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Okay, welcome back to Just Pod Baby with Evan Grote. I do have the injury report here, the Friday injury report here in front of me. Quite a few things to go through here for both teams. I want to start with, we're going to start with the Raiders today. If you listen to Gruden's press conference on Thursday, he started off the press conference by saying that there were several players who did not participate in practice. Josh Jacobs, Tyrell Williams, Gabe Jackson, Richie Incognito, LaMarcus Joyner, and Trayvon Mullen. So that was not a very good sign. But today he had another conference, and he said that a few of those guys were able to practice Tyrell Williams practiced, LaMarcus Joyner practiced, as well as Trayvon Mullen. So he said all three of those guys would be active for the game. So that's a very good sign for the Raiders going forward. Now, of all the guys that are banged up right now, there's only two players that carry a designation heading into Sunday's game, and that's Josh Jacobs and Richie Incognito. Both of those players are listed as doubtful. Now, I'm sure you saw it. Josh Jacobs posted a video a picture on social media of him in a hospital bed. Apparently, he had a surgery this week on a skin infection, but Gruden said that will not be a factor in his status. It all comes down to that shoulder. So he's listed as doubtful. Gruden did say that he wouldn't be surprised. Although they're listed as doubtful, he suggested that, he wouldn't be surprised if they both try to play on Sunday, but that'll probably be a game time decision. Now, as far as anyone else, like I said, Rodney Hudson's listed here with ankle. He was limited Thursday, Friday. He was full on, he was limited Wednesday, Thursday. He was a full participant on Friday, so he's good to go. Gabe Jackson with a knee was limited Wednesday, did not participate Thursday, was full on Friday. And then, like I said, Joyner and Mullen and Tyrell Williams all got in a practice today after not participating on Friday, on Thursday, so things look good to go for them. Now, with the Broncos, they have three players that are already listed as out, and they're all three players that are on the offensive line. So that could be a very big key to this game. Tackle Juwan James, he did not participate at all this week, and I think he's missed a couple weeks here now. I think he's been injured, but he is out again this week. Guard Ron Leary, he's dealing with a concussion. He did not practice all week, so he's out. And the other player who's already listed as out is tackle Elijah Wilkinson, who, again, with an ankle, has also been listed as out. Wilkinson was the man who's been filling in for Juwan James at right tackle. So with Wilkinson out, the Broncos may be forced to start, I believe it's going to be Jake Rogers, and I think that's going to be his first NFL start. So there's your injury report. What I want to do now is kind of dive into the game and kind of preview it a little bit, give you my two cents on the game. Now, Denver is really playing well recently, if you followed it all. They've won three out of their last four games, including wins over the Lions, the Texans, the Chargers, and their one loss came against the Chiefs. Rookie Drew Locke has been the starter for all four of those games. He was inserted into the starting position as quarterback in Week 13, and he's really provided them with a nice spark. Like I said, the 3-1 record. With Locke under center, the Broncos were averaging 23 points a game. The rookie is completing 65% of his passes. He has 843 yards passing on the season with six touchdowns versus three interceptions. So, three interceptions and four starts, he does have the tendency to turn the ball over. So that is something that, again, the Raiders defense will be wanting to try to do. Philip Lindsay is the lead back for the Broncos still, and he will be looking to go over the 1,000-yard mark on the season. He needs just 42 yards to get there. Cortland Sutton leads the team in receiving yards and receptions with 68 catches for 1,060 yards. He also has six touchdowns. Now, Sutton is a big-bodied receiver, big catch radius, 6'4", can go up and get jump ball. So he could be a tough matchup for the Raiders secondary. And he really does seem to be Locke's go-to guy. He only had a four-game sample size to go off of here, but he has been targeted 32 times the past 4 weeks, including double-digit targets in each of the last two games. So certainly the guy that he's looking to get the ball to. Now, on the defensive side of the ball for the Broncos, that's where they, it continues to be a strength for this team. Denver's defense ranks 10th in both total yards allowed and points allowed, and they give up only 20 points a game. And they've been really stingy against the pass, so it could be a tough week for Carr, in those cold temperatures going up against this defense. Now, they've allowed only 215 yards a game through the air, which ranks them 6th in the league. So they're pretty good against the pass. We know they have some decent corners back there. Chris Harris, Against the run is where they can be had, though. If you had to, you know, pick a poison, they do give up 112 yards a game on the ground. So the status of Josh Jacobs really could be a huge factor in this game, whether he plays or not. Now, I talked about the temperature for kickoff, or for the game, I should say. Now, I was looking on my weather app, and I'm not sure if it's 100% accurate or not, but and I don't have an hourly breakdown or anything like that, but I do see it shows 35 degrees with sun. So it does not look like there will be any precipitation in the forecast, which would help things. We all know how Carr struggles, the struggles he's had in cold weather games. Where and what they consider cold weather games to be is when the temperature is below 40 degrees at kickoff. So, could be a factor in the game as well. Now, some of the keys to the game, in my opinion, will be, can the Raiders defense take advantage of a banged up offensive line for the Broncos? I saw this fact on ESPN when I was gathering some research for the podcast tonight. The Broncos will be starting three players along the offensive line on Sunday against the Raiders: rookie Dalton Risner, Austin Schultman, and Jake Rogers, who each have started their first NFL games at some point this season. Risner is a second-round pick in this last year's draft. Actually, he was a player who I was pretty high on. I thought the Raiders might possibly make a move on him, but didn't happen. Schultman made his first start December 8th, and Jake Rogers, will be making his first start this week against the Raiders. So definitely some inexperience there along the offensive line for the Broncos. The pass rush will definitely need to be a factor for the Raiders. Can they take advantage of this young offensive line? Can they get pressure on the young quarterback, Drew Lock, and try to force him into some quick throws, maybe some bad decisions? I think the same could be said for the Raiders with their O-line issues that they're having right now, but we'll see about that. Another factor, obviously, will be how Carr handles those cold weather, you know, the cold temperatures. And I hate to continue to beat a dead horse. I'm sure many of you are kind of tired of hearing it, but until he changes that narrative, it's going to continue to get brought up. I think the record is 0-5 now in cold weather games, and this is a game that the Raiders must have. They must give themselves a chance. How will he respond? He has to play well. There's no doubt about it. I said it last week. That was going to be a game where, you know, they were only going to go as far as Derek Carr could take them on offense, and I think the same is to be said this week. Now, he has played well, and I think he's done his part in the last 2 weeks. He needs to end the season on a positive note, going into what could be a very, very critical offseason for his career with the Raiders. So I'm sure he's aware of that, and he would like to make a good last impression on Gruden and Mayock. And last, I think that when you look at these two teams and kind of the paths that they've taken to get where they are right now, they look very similar. And what I mean by that is they've both dealt with a lot of turnovers this season due to injuries, and they both had many new faces join the team and starting lineups. And there's going to be a lot of young players involved in this game for both teams. So I think it's going to come down to a pride factor. Okay, who wants it more? You know, this is an old AFC West division rivalry. The Broncos will look to be playing spoilers. They know that the Raiders need to win this game, and they're going to look to put an end to any hopes of, the Raiders may have of making the playoffs. And, how will some of these young players respond for both teams and the new players that, you know, each team has brought in? How are they going to respond? I think that's going to be a major factor in the game. And there is one last thing that I do want to add. Again, something I came across throughout my research for the pod. Philip Lindsay had a quote this week about the game, and I think it really speaks to the mindset of his entire team and what they may be thinking in that locker room. Lindsay said, and I quote, "There is motivation anyway. Anytime you play the Raiders, that is a rival game. We lost to them when we went there in the season opener. Now it's time for them to come to us. And I think that if they're going to come here and try to clinch a playoff spot, they got something coming because we're here to win the game. And if they think they're going to come in here and just get one, that they're sadly mistaken, end quote. So, I hope that the Raiders see this quote. I hope Gruden, has it hanging in the locker room for everyone to see. This is good material. It's good motivation for them. And it's going to be a battle. There's no doubt about it. The Broncos are coming to play, and they would love nothing better than to, put an end to the Raiders' season here. Now, finally, before I break for the final time this episode, I do want to give you a prediction. I did see the Raiders are 3.5-point underdogs, which I think is a fair number right now, being on the road. But unlike last week, where I said the Raiders would probably lose the game, I have the Raiders victorious this week. I think there is a sense that, this is a must-win. They're well aware of it. I like the way this team responded after that horrendous loss to the Jaguars in the final game in Oakland. And I think they really responded well last week against the Chargers. And I think they carry that over to this week. I really believe that Carr will finally get things right in the cold weather game. I don't think it's going to be horrible weather. I think it's going to be, temperature will be cold, but again, it'll be dry. So I think I don't think that will affect him too much. And I think he'll play decent enough to help his team sneak out a win. So that being said, I have the Raiders victorious 21-17. All right, when I return from break, I will wrap this one up. And I'm also going to be giving you a few programming notes. Be right back. And welcome back to Just Pod Baby with Evan Grote. I just have a few announcements here for you about what to expect going forward with the podcast. You will hear from me either way, win or lose, on Sunday. You will hear from me next week on Friday with either a preview of our first playoff game or kind of recapping the 2019 season. So plan on hearing from me next week. Going forward, though, I will probably take a few weeks off should they not advance to the playoffs. As we get closer to, once there's some draft talk heating up, free agency stuff, you'll be hearing from me hopefully on maybe a bi-weekly basis. I'm not going to totally abandon you in the off season. I do want to keep you guys informed and whatnot. So that's kind of the schedule going forward. And again, either way, you will hear from me next week, and hopefully maybe I'll have a little bit more of a concrete plan going forward when you hear from me next week. I also would like to thank all of you guys out there for, being loyal listeners all throughout the season. Again, I started this as something I just, thought would be a fun hobby, watch the numbers and the number of downloads kind of steadily grow throughout the season, and it's developed into something that I never really imagined. And I had a chance to interview Max Crosby and different college coaches and beat writers from all over the league, and so it's really been something that I've really enjoyed all throughout the season. And I really can't thank you guys enough, because without you guys and without your support and your your following and your backing, then I probably wouldn't have continued to do it. But I do appreciate your support along the way, and I look forward to continuing to grow the the listenership and to continue to provide you guys with good content. With that being said, it is time to wrap this one up. I do want to thank you all for tuning in this week. I hope you enjoyed the show. I hope everyone has a great weekend. Enjoy the game on Sunday. It's a big one. It's a must-win for the Raiders. And remember, keep an eye on those other games that we discussed earlier in the episode. Those of you who will be going out and celebrating the new year next week on New Year's Eve, be safe out there. Be smart. I'll talk to you guys next year. And as always, just win, baby.